All right, I hope we're all ready to head into the eighth part of this Gospel Misunderstandings. Now, I should explain these parts. This is actually number 19 in Gospel Misunderstandings, but when I did this, I tallied all the misunderstandings that I could find, and they came to 39. This is 19th out of those 39. When I divided them into bite-sized pieces that we could talk about in the evenings like this, I came up with 19 different lessons, consecutive lessons. So this is the eighth in those 19, and it's number 19 out of the 39 objections or misunderstandings that occur, that I've found anyway, that occur. And I don't know if I'm not going to promise to index them because I can't find any rhyme or reason. I mean, when you go about to defeat the Word of God by contrivances and it's, there's no rhyme or reason to it. They just do what they can. But anyway, we're going to briefly review the whole process at Thessalonica that we can see dissected because of delays and things that couldn't happen as they normally would have in rapid succession, put it that way. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:5, fifth verse in the epistle to the Thessalonians. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Well, in Acts 18, when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, or the whole book, actually, but this verse is what we're considering, and he used the term our gospel. He was looking back to Thessalonica after both Paul's preaching of the gospel of God in Acts 17 had been believed, and after Timothy's preaching of the gospel of Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, second verse through the seventh verse, after both had been believed to establish them. They were, by the time Paul sat down to write this, he knew that they had believed Timothy's preaching of the gospel of Christ, and they had been established. So he writes kind of a step by step, but he already knows the ending, okay? And he knows it was our gospel. Well, we'll get into that more. But by Acts 18, when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, Paul knew the facts that he wrote about in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7, that they had believed the gospel of salvation that Timothy preached unto them. And when Paul... Timothy had gone because Paul had sent him, and it's four verses earlier there in 1 Thessalonians, in I think verse 2, that he sent him, 1 and 2. And then in verse 6, he finds out the answer of that whole trip and the preaching to Thessalonica, and Timothy reports back that, yes, they believe, they're saved now. But Paul, he knew they had been saved, and in 1 Thessalonians 3, not in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 or chapter 2 that he wrote in Acts 18. In other words, later, after the fact, he wrote 1 Thessalonians. He knows that they were not saved in Acts 17, verses 1 to 10. those verses tell the story of what went on in the lewd fellows that were hired or suborned, bribed to cause a riot there in the city, and Paul had to leave before he could preach to them the gospel of salvation. It wasn't there that at that time in Acts 17 that the Thessalonians had believed, heard the gospel of salvation to believe it, and had believed it. It wasn't there. But by the time Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, they had. In other words, when Paul first sat down to start writing, and he wrote that verse, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, about our gospel, he already knew the Thessalonians had believed not only the gospel of God, preached by Paul in Acts 17, but also our gospel, the gospel of Christ, preached to them by Timothy, under Paul's direction, fellow laboring, and sending. He sent them. You can read that in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 7. So that explains what, you know, they're going to say that in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, before they, you know, you go down a few verses, I think it's verse 9. Let me just look at that here. I think it's verse 9. It says they turned from idols. Well, it makes they make it sound like it was Paul going there, preaching our gospel, that made them turn from idols to serve the living and true God. But it was Paul preaching the introductory, the foundational gospel of God, and having to leave and sending back Timothy. Timothy preached the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ to them, our gospel. So he knew the facts that he talks about later in 1 Thessalonians, not in the first chapter, but in the second and third chapter. Second chapter verifies what happened in Thessalonica in Acts 17. So let me catch up with my notes here. You know, when Paul sat down to start writing, he already knew that they had believed not only the gospel of the foundational gospel about who Jesus is, but they had believed that Christ died for their sins. So let's go on to the next misunderstanding. It would be number 20 in the list of them that we're going through. Dispensation of the grace of God is not mentioned before Acts 20. For some reason, it's important to some of these people that that misunderstand it and seem to prop up excuses and reasons to go on misunderstanding it. For some reason, it's important to them. I don't know why. I think it has to do something with what they had, the traditions handed down to them, what they had learned from their mentors, etc. But let's look at some of the verses that Paul wrote to saved people in Thessalonica. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through, now here's two things he's going to list, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Belief of the truth, that's the gospel of salvation. But it's in addition to something. What comes before that and there is through sanctification of the Spirit. And I've talked about this before, but I didn't actually go to the verse. Let's look at the verse, Romans 15, verse 16. Let me post that here. Welcome to the room. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that's about who Jesus is, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So that's what he's talking about here. The initial contact that Paul had with them was in Acts, in the synagogue, Acts 17. He preached unto them the gospel of God. So they had been chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. You see, I hope you can see the connection there. In Romans 15:16, it says, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost when they heard the gospel of God. Facts about who Jesus is. They heard it and believed it, put it that way. But additionally, there's an and there. What else? They were chosen because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. They had to believe the truth that Christ, who Christ died for. My sins were so grievous, I couldn't ever become good enough on my own to be acceptable to God. The truth is that Christ died for all those sins and gave me his righteousness. He gave you his righteousness, as you believe too, belief of the truth. Going on to verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that Paul said from the beginning. Not from the beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul, what did he say? He did say from the beginning, meaning what we're going to read in these verses here. He's not pitting this use of from the beginning and comparing it to Philippians 4:15 at the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia. He's not putting those together. What Paul is talking about from the beginning, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, from the beginning he hath chosen you. Look at verse 18, Ephesians 1, 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And the other section that matches, contributes, I would call it context, in the same context, being the same topic, even though it's in a different section of the Bible. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Again, God did the calling, not Paul. God did the calling, not Paul's gospel. God called them by Paul's gospel. But it was God doing the calling. So the gospel of God alone does not put anyone in the kingdom, nor does it put anyone in the heavenly places in the body of Christ. The gospel of God identifies who Jesus is so that they were enabled to believe the gospel of the kingdom or enabled to believe the gospel of Christ, whichever gospel that they were called through and believed at that time. And let me repeat, at that time, that's not available anymore. There's only one gospel of salvation that works today. But it was during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ before Israel's diminishing ended. Before Israel's diminishing ended, which would have been at the end or three verses from the end of Acts. Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. Also, contributing, that's not the word I want, not proof texts, footnotes, I don't know. This is where the scriptures are that I got the information about the gospel of God, that it it tells who Jesus is, so they were enabled to believe the gospel of the kingdom if they were ones that were called in circumcision, or that it enabled, the gospel of God enabled people to believe the gospel of Christ if they were called in uncircumcision. And that's from 1 Corinthians 3 verses 5 to 8, as well as 1 Corinthians 7 verses 17 to 20. Let's look at those verses too, because that's I don't recall hearing preachers talk about this, so it's probably lesser known. So let's hear the proof of it from the scriptures. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and post them. 17, 18, and 20. There we go. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. And then verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So that's only during, that's why we have to distinguish between Paul's epistles after the end of Acts, after this diminishing ended, after a dispensation of the gospel, when he was into a dispensation of the grace of God and wrote the seven last epistles, the seven called prison epistles. They're not, I don't think they're all written in prison, but they're post-Acts epistles. You have to distinguish, but those have everything in there is about us, the body of Christ, and good, solid, advanced information about that. Everything in, let me just put it this way, in Paul's earlier epistles, during the prison, during the Paul's earlier epistles, during the Acts period, they have information, too, about the body of Christ, about how to be saved, how to get in the body of Christ, only by being being baptized by one spirit into the one body of Christ. About the rapture, about a lot of things. It's accurate information for the body of Christ. And it's the only place a lot of it is found. But there's additional information that doesn't apply to us, because we're not Greeks in the synagogues. We're not Jews that believed and were, you know, those Greeks had a calling. They were to provoke Israel to jealousy, just like Paul was to provoke Israel to emulation. They're not the same thing. So, we better go on. Let's go on to the next. This will be gospel misunderstanding number 21. There's no salvation in the gospel of God alone. Well, that's the fact, but it's misunderstood. There's no salvation in the gospel of God alone. Read it. You can see it there in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, comma. And there's a parenthesis there, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the gospel of God was promised. End of parenthesis. And called to be an apostle, comma, and going after the parenthesis, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gospel of God. concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. So, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? According to the Spirit of Holiness, and by the resurrection from the dead. I misread that. Let me just read it without comment. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of Holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So it covers the resurrection, the sonship of Jesus Christ, and in there also it talks about his messiahship. The word Christ, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, the word Christ means Messiah. And then it goes on to say that he was made of the seed of David, which is the messianic line. So those three things, or at least two, it depends, just like about our gospel of salvation. Some places mention two of the three elements of it, and some mention three, but it's talking about the same salvation. So when you examine those verses, especially verses 3 and 4 that tell about the gospel of God, what do you see? You don't see anything in there that says, do this and you will be saved from condemnation. Do this and the wrath of God will not come upon you. There's nothing like that. It's just a statement of who Jesus is. You either believe it or you don't. And, you know, based on people's belief of the gospel of God, Paul would go on and preach the gospel of salvation to them, the gospel of Christ. So the ones that believe the gospel of God are the ones that got to hear how to be saved. But nothing in the gospel of God promises thou shalt be saved, or to everlasting life, or anything like that. It enables the gospel of salvation in the mystery of Christ. But the gospel of God alone does not save anyone. And you've probably heard us say that that Israel fell because they did not believe the gospel of God. Had they believed it, they wouldn't have fallen. But that's not alone. I mean, they also had to believe the covenants, had to believe the commandments and keep the commandments, had to keep the Sabbath, had to keep circumcision. They had a whole list of things that they had already done, and all they needed to do was the one remaining thing, believe that Jesus was the Christ, risen from the dead. And they refused to do it. So, for them, it sounds like if they would believe the gospel of God, they would be saved eventually. But if they, endured to the end. But that's not it, because the gospel of God for Israel is not alone. It's one of many things they had to do. Let's see, I don't want to skip anything here. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells that the Thessalonians got saved. But Paul does not say that it was his Acts 17 preaching that saved them. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 7, Paul was relieved to hear. And when I read those verses, it's almost like reading, the story of Joseph and sold into slavery. He becomes practically the king, and they come down there needing food in a famine, and finally, they're all reunited. It's just a heartwarming story. And finding out that these Thessalonians did believe Timothy and the Scripture, they believed the Scripture when Paul preached it, but that's one of the problems for Paul and the body of Christ apostles and teachers, was that it was not in the Scriptures. It was mystery. It was revealed by Christ to Paul. But Christ, in place of the Scriptures being there to check on, God sent body of Christ prophets. 1 Corinthians 14:37. Their job was to identify that what Paul preached, Christ had commanded him to. It was the commandments of God. So he was relieved when he heard that they had believed and that they did exercise faith in the gospel of Christ that Timothy preached to them. Paul was relieved. He knew of their faith in the gospel of God before, but he had not previously known of their faith in the gospel of Christ for salvation until it was reported back by Timothy. The reason I emphasize this so much is because they deny that. The objectors and the misunderstanders of this, they think that, well, of course Paul preached the gospel of salvation. He went in their synagogue and he preached to them what he was sent to preach. He preached how to be saved. Bible doesn't say that. I'm sorry. We need to be clear. And I don't know. I guess I think repeating it's the only way to make it more clear than what the Bible says. I don't know. It's there, though. And if they don't believe it, they're not believing what the Bible says. Some people try to say Paul described his salvation gospel as the good news of God being the gospel of God. It's slurring the border there between the gospels. I don't know if you can see that. And that contradicts what Paul wrote and preached. They try to relabel the Old Testament prophecies about God's redemption, relabel them as the gospel of God. But the gospel of God is nowhere titled as such in the Old Testament. For definitions and description of the gospel of God, you have to go to the New Testament statements about what is the gospel of God, and which we just did. But they're trying to, that's this some people that I referred to earlier, trying to relabel the gospel of the grace of God as the gospel of God. And they do this, it's a pretty obvious attempt to ignore 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 2, 8, and 9 about the gospel of God being what Paul had preached. He'd been able to preach it in Thessalonica in the synagogue in Acts 17, verses 1 to 10, before he was expelled from town. And they don't accept that. So it's right there in the scripture, though. Let's go to number 22, gospel misunderstanding number 22. The gospel of God is more specific than mere prophecies. We're told what the gospel of God is. Paul's gospel of Christ is never described as a progressive continuation of the gospel of God. That's merely a private interpretation used by some people to keep the theory that it was Paul that preached the salvation message in Thessalonica, instead of them hearing it the first time from Timothy, when Timothy was sent back by Paul. And that's verified in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 7. Paul was not sent to preach to all men before Acts 20, that I can find. It's not in the Bible if he was. Whether he did or not preach to alien Gentiles or those that were not in the covenants of promise, whether he did or not, it's irrelevant. What matters is what Christ sent him to do. Paul separates his early and his late gospels. The difference in the gospel being merely two things. The name, it's renamed because of the other thing. The sending was extended. He was not just sent to the Jews and the Greeks anymore. His late sending sent him to all people. So Paul's gospel, what's called Paul's gospel in the Bible, is the gospel of Christ, and later, after he's sent to all people, that same saving message is called the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's gospel is not the capstone of progressive revelation. It's not the final installment of progressive revelation. It is not just further information in the previous program. It's a new revelation of a new pattern of dispensing God's salvation to mankind. The gospel of the grace of God is a continuation of the gospel of Christ, but it's not a continuation of the gospel of God. The continuation of God's progressive revelation that some of them talk about, that's going to be Israel's kingdom out of heaven in the future, coming to earth. That's the continuation of God's progressive revelation, or the final capstone in it. All right, gospel misunderstandings number 23. There are some people, there's that phrase again, some people that try to say that my gospel was limited, not Mike's gospel, I'm talking about what Paul calls my gospel in the Bible. They try to say that my gospel is limited to the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God. But as soon as you start talking to them about biblical uses of the term the gospel of Christ, they try to change the topic. And they try to change it to the gospel of the grace of God. As if, it's as if they're trying to ignore the gospel of Christ. And I've said before, just look at their charts. You cannot find the gospel of Christ on it. It's like they're ashamed of it. Paul did not preach a prophesied gospel for salvation. However, Paul did preach a prophesied gospel. He just didn't preach it for salvation. The gospel of God was preached by Paul, and those three elements of it are all in the Old Testament. It was prophesied, told about, that Christ would die, that Christ would rise again, that it would be a son, unto you a son is given, that he's the Son of God, that he's, that the Messiah was coming. So, Paul did not preach more than one gospel for salvation, but Paul did preach more than one gospel message. Just not more than one gospel message for salvation. And if you look, I've got four listed here. Let me just read. I can give four or five references for most of these, but I know the time is short, so let me just... Paul preached the gospel of God. One reference would be Romans 1, 1 through 4. Paul preached the gospel of Christ. And what would be one of the... 2 Corinthians 10, 14 maybe is one of the better ones that show that. Paul preached the gospel of the uncircumcision. Of course, that's only in Galatians 2, 7. And Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God, as he was told to in Acts 20, 24. And he goes on and elucidates on it a little bit in Colossians 1, verses 3 through 6. A couple more here. Brief one. Yay. Gospel misunderstanding number 24. Romans 1:16 is still in my King James Bible. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That does not mean to all men. That came later in Scripture. All right, gospel misunderstanding number 25. When the gospel of our salvation began, when did it begin? Some people misunderstand what the Bible believers like us, what we say that the Bible teaches. They seem to think we're saying that Paul did not preach the mystery of salvation until Acts 18, verse 22. No, that was just Christ revealing his wider... It would be in the future, a future wider sending of Paul. So, Paul's salvation gospel began with his salvation in Acts 9. Paul's preaching of Christ's salvation pattern was first recorded no earlier in the Bible. Recorded is the key word there. It was recorded no earlier than Acts 13, starting in verse 14. That sermon, Acts 13, in Antioch of Pisidia. Now, it does say that, in Acts 9, straightway he preached in the synagogues that Jesus is the Christ, or this is very Christ. A couple places there, Acts 9:20 and Acts 9:22. So if that's all he preached, his sermon was recorded then too. But he was only preaching the gospel of God then, not the gospel of salvation. He was sent to preach the gospel of salvation in Acts 13, verses 2 and 4. Gospel misunderstanding, number 26, I think this is all we'll cover tonight, the gospel of Christ before the gospel of the grace of God. The earliest inspired writing I can find naming the gospel of Christ is in Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7. It's just called another gospel in verse 6, but it's verified that he's talking about the gospel of Christ in verse 7. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God, the grace of Christ. In other words, he goes back to the word removed, so soon removed, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's the first actual mention of the title, the gospel of Christ, that I can find. But that would be the same gospel that Paul referred to in Galatians 2:7 as occurring in Acts 15. In that clarification meeting of those from the two groups of churches, where Paul called his gospel the gospel of the uncircumcision. Galatians 2, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Clear definition, distinction between the two there. The earliest inspired writing that I can find naming the gospel of the grace of God is in Acts 20, long after Acts 13. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He had started it, he wanted to finish it, his course. Additionally, he says, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. He knew he was going beyond by the verse 20, Acts 20, verse 25. That's already after the beginning of the gospel that Philippians 4:15 says would be in Acts 20, verse 6. What would that be? 20 verses later? 20 verses later, 18 verses, something like that. I'm trying to figure in my mind here. From Acts 20, verse 6 to verse 24, I think that's 18 verses. So, Paul said that he received the go-ahead to preach the gospel to all people. Not the go-ahead, it was the actual sending. Before, in the temple vision, he was told he would be sent. And here, when he sailed away from Philippi, he was sent. And, of course, then he went to Troas, raised the dead man, Eutychus, and preached all night. The only time he's recorded is of preaching all night. Had a lot to talk about. He was sent to all people then. In Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7, the gospel of Christ appears in the Acts 15 time period before the later gospel of the grace of God appears in Acts 20. They're in series, one after the other, rather than being parallel Gospels at the same time. Both of the Gospels are within the one body of Christ, and they both have the same content, the same saving message. Believe that Christ died for your sins. Receive that to your own need, your own condition, your own condemnation. That Christ already paid your debt, died your death, gave you the gift of eternal life. Okay, I'm done with these notes for tonight anyway.